That's why you wanna be there. And she feeds. Suzanne takes you down to her place near the river. You can hear the boats go by. You can spend the night beside her. And you know, she's half crazy. That's why you wanna be there. And she feeds you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. And just when you mean to tell her that you have no love to give her, she gets you on her wavelength. And she lets the river answer. You've always been her lover. With her, and you want to travel blind, you know she will find you, for you've touched her perfect body with your mind. Yes, and Jesus was a sailor when he walked upon the water, and he spent a long time watching from a lonely wooden tower. And when he knew for certain only drowning men could see, he said all men will be sailors then until the sea shall free them. He himself was broken long before the sky would open. Forsaken, almost human, he sank beneath your wisdom like a stone.
Secret. Sure, I get it. I got it. Okay, I'm gonna come in by Zoom. Okay.
Hey, Sue.
Hey, there's everybody I know.
Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, guys.
Yay. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I didn't have time to brush my hair.
We'll let it slide this time.
We're doing no close-ups tonight, so.
Fred Newton called me to tell me about your protest at the Federal Reserve Bank.
Fred Newton, there's a name I haven't heard in several eons.
And he said, "Do you know Sue Peters?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's who I was going to call next." He said, "Don't call her. She's already organizing the whole thing."
Yeah, he's part of the some New Yorkers who are organizing the Occupy the Need Act for a monetary reform. I just met him a couple months ago.
I just wanted to go down there and liberate all the gold, but I don't think they have it there anymore.
Yeah. All right, guys. I believe we have enough people to start. I'm just trying to retrieve the agenda out of the bin here, but I'm not sure at this point in the day whether I'm doing it right or not. Won't open in Word. Won't open in Preview.
It was attached to the email. I just resent it, Chris.
Okay.
I had renamed it because you had left last month's date on it. So I don't know if that's causing.
I could have sworn I changed the date, but sorry about that.
Well, you did on the agenda itself, but on the file name, I think that perhaps that's why it's giving you trouble.
Hang on, sorry for the delay.
Well, I had it somewhere.
Oh, okay, an open in text edit, well, that's fine, I guess. If one can see it. Alright. This is what happens from sitting in front of a computer all day and then doing some more.
Are you teaching the kids with the computer now?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Where are the minutes to the last meeting?
Hold on a minute. One thing at a time here.
Okay.
We actually don't have minutes. Maybe you didn't hear me. Claudia was the note taker, and there was a flood in the apartment above her, and so she said that has disrupted a number of things, and she's not able to find the minutes. So,
oh my God,
we'll have to forge ahead without them.
That's awful. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Okay, I'm. Sorry, I'm not really having a good day here, and that includes trying to open the agenda in a way in which I can share it. Text edit is like microscopic, and so I'm sorry, Jim and everyone else. I'm trying to find a way to.
Here, let me try and share it, Chris, here. Let's see, I haven't really done
it. I mean, I know it's on the agenda, it's just everyone else is going to.
Can you get it from the email?
Trying to, but it won't open in Word, and I try to download it in preview, but it comes up as text edit, which is really small.
What I did is I opened it in whatever, program it opened in, and then when it said not to save it in this format, I said no, and then it opens a text box, and then you can save it in Word, and it's saved.
Yeah, I think it's an ODT file, which is an open source, which means you should be able to open it.
Able to open it in my Word on my computer. I can share it with everybody. If the host disables screen sharing, so I can share.
I don't know why it says that. Yeah, I'm getting that too. Host disable participant screen sharing. I don't remember doing that when I set up this meeting. And I don't know how to undo it. But anyway, it's the usual, select facilitator, timekeeper, note taker, adopt agenda, adopt minutes.
All right, so it was really just an issue of being able to screen share, but you all received a copy of the agenda. It sounds like most of you are able to open it and look at it. So welcome to this meeting of the Green Party in New York County. Would like to go to selection of facilitator, note taker, timekeeper. I will entertain motions, nominations, self-nominations for facilitator at this time.
Chris, just as an FYI, I just emailed it to you. I just pasted it into the body of an email. So
okay.
Well, you'll have it that way.
And
I'll nominate.
I put a copy on the chat.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'll nominate Chris to be the facilitator. Oh, yeah. There we go. Beautiful. Good job, Sue.
Someone kept it simple, which is helpful.
Thank you, Sue. I'm glad I called you and ranted and raved. All right. right, there's a nomination for facilitator. Is there a second?
Second.
Are there any other nominations? All right. Any objections to me being facilitator? Hearing none, I'll entertain nominations for note taker. All right, Silence has been nominated for note taker. Okay, anybody? A qualification for note taker is that there will not be a flood in the apartment above you in the next month. I'm seeing at least one person who could take notes, but I won't say the name. Okay, guys, we need to get on with the meeting. Can anyone please self-nominate or nominate someone?
I'll self-nominate.
Okay, one second. Any other nominations for note taker? Hearing none, are there any objections to Sue being note taker? I didn't think so.
Okay.
Nominations for timekeeper.
I'll nominate myself for timekeeper if we come up with times for each agenda item.
Which we will. I'll second that nomination. Any other nominations? Any objections to Jack being a timekeeper? All right, let's roll. You have the agenda in the chat. Thank you, Sue.
Uh-huh.
I'll entertain a motion to adopt agenda, as well as any tweaks you want to put in there.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Any objections to adopting an agenda as it's seen in the chat? All right, agenda adopted. Adoption of minutes. We do not have minutes for the reasons that Jim explained before. So we're going to move on to county officer reports. The first one is the chair, which is me. The past month or so, I've been trying to help people get on to Call Hub for the Hawkins Walker campaign, and to distribute literature. And I want to acknowledge some people because it's always good to acknowledge people who take time out of their busy schedules to volunteer for the Green Party, and particularly now, since we're in danger of losing our statewide ballot access. So I want to thank Jack, Claudia, and Warren for being on Call Hub at one time or another to make phone calls. I want to thank, in terms of literature, I want to thank Jack, Warren, Tom, Syracuse, and Ivana for helping to get literature to people or handing out literature on the street. Anyone else who I haven't mentioned who's been out there working for Walker. Oh boy, I need to go to sleep. All right, Hawkins Walker. Thank you. I have not had a drop of alcohol. It's the kind of day I've had. Thank you for that. The only other thing I'll say is that there's less than 3 weeks left to Election Day. I don't want to think about how I'm going to feel or think or whatever on November 4th, the day after. This is it. There's not too much else to say that you haven't seen in eBlast or heard from me or other people in the Greens. So whatever you can do is appreciated. We're not asking anyone to be martyrs, but we are asking you that if there's anything you can do to promote the candidacy, even if you disagree with one or more things in their platform, all right, The point of the matter is, that's not the point of the matter. The point of the matter is that the Hawkins-Walker ticket there, I said it right that time, needs 2% or approximately 150 to maybe 170,000 votes in New York State in 2.5 weeks from now, or else we lose our statewide ballot access. I just want to say that there's lots of veteran Greens here. Seems we're all veteran Greens. Many of us remember when we did the big petition drive to get ourselves back on the ballot in 2010. We needed 15,000 signatures. We doubled it because we figured we needed to do that to be safe. So we got 30,000 signatures. I played a small role in that. Some other people played major roles in one of the great experiences of my lifetime and one of the more satisfying experiences, which was we beat the system at their own rules, but then they changed the rules this year. It's not our fault we're losing it. We could lose our statewide ballot access, but we have to try to beat the system again. So please do whatever you can in the next 2.5 weeks. I know I will, and I know most everyone here will. So please spread the word. No one needs to vote for Biden in this state. He's up by 31%.
You can't tell people that. You can't. People are not thinking
that. I have, and I'm going to continue to tell people that. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, but some people will listen, some people will not, and we know that story already, and that's all I have to say. I'll entertain questions or comments, including Jack's, who I'm sorry I cut you off there because I got really angry for a moment.
All right, I was not on the stack, so no. That was
any questions or comments for the chair's report?
No stack.
Go ahead, Jim.
So I've also been on Call Hub, and I want to emphasize it's actually real easy. You end up mostly leaving messages or getting non-answers. The rare engagements that I've had, by and large, people have been receptive to the message of Biden is up by 30 points. We need to save the Green Party line. I'm getting a little ahead on the agenda here, but I saw some email traffic earlier in the day from some of the lawyers who were working on the case on the Libertarian side. And if you do the math, if we were to lose ballot status, 6 weeks of signature gathering, so that's 42 days into 45,000 signatures, that's bare minimum, is 1,071 signatures a day. And that actually has to be across, has to be 500 signatures in 15, I think, congressional districts. So we don't want to go there. I mean, how we got 184,000 votes in 2014, it is within the realm of doability. So I would emphasize just what Chris has said, that, you know, let's put our, you know, efforts to it and work as hard as we can to avoid that eventuality. Over.
Thank you, Jim. Other comments or questions for the chair's report? All right, going once, twice, three times. We do not have a secretary's report because Claudia looks like she was not able to attend tonight. Jim, would you like to give the treasurer's report?
Sure. I attached the report to the Zoom info for the meeting. Basically, the only two expenditures this past month was reimbursing me for the one-third of the share of printing the whatever the number was that we printed, I think 2,100 Hawkins Walker palm cards, which were divided equally between the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Manhattan. So that was $235. And then there was the additional appeal from the state party for county orgs to step up to help with a Hawkins Walker postcard mailing to go to as many of the 28,000 greens as our budget will allow. So we did 500. I'm hopeful that that is going to go to something on the order of 24,000 people. I think the discussion had been 15,000 or 24,000 as the different benchmark. So, you know, we've still got over $1,000 in the bank. So that's my treasurer's report. I'll take any questions if anybody has any. Over.
Gil, are you raising your hand?
Yeah. I probably should have said it during your report, but just so you know, if you're running low of the literature that we printed, I worked with Deborah this week to produce a New York specific backside to the Hawkins literature, and she's in the process of printing a bunch of literature. The backside has a New York specific pitch along the lines of what you said earlier, Chris. You know, why vote for Hawkins? Why it's safe? What it stands for? What it means? You know, there's also been activity in the Bronx, which I didn't need to talk about at this meeting, but only to say that, you know, with that pitch and with the Hawkins literature, people have been pretty receptive, even people that aren't in the Green Party, to the idea that they need to send a message to Cuomo and Biden about, you know, after the election, and that a good way to do that is to vote for Hawkins Walker.
Thank you, Gil. Other comments or questions for the treasurer? All right, hearing none, thank you, Jim. Next item on the agenda is campaigning for Hawkins Walker. Yeah, I said it right the second time in a row. Jim, I'll just add on the literature distribution thing. We had a situation this past week where Deborah thought she was going to run out of literature for a particular event, so she borrowed temporarily some of the lit that I had originally gotten from you. She's returning it to me. We have approximately 200 palm cards left from the batch that Jim was talking about earlier. I don't have any more literature. The only other thing in terms of literature that I can say is I was trying to format the talking points, which I had sent out in kind of a raw form via Jim to the county listserv. It was just by way of changing some font sizes for headings and maybe doing kinds of bullet points. But different people have different ideas about what to do with literature and what to emphasize. It's fine with me. I mean, my emphasis when I talk to people is, you know, is about the ballot access thing. I know there's a lot of information on the talking points about the Working Families Party, perhaps for a more extended conversation with passersby, but over. Jim? I'm sorry. Gil's raising his hand. Gil, something about literature?
Yeah, I was just checking how many Deborah ordered of the new card that she's making, and it's 5,000. So, you know, I imagine that you know, if you run out, that the Bronx will make some of those 5,000 available, because there's only what? Two weeks or something to really get them out. 2 or 3 weeks to get them out.
Okay. Jim, I'm sorry, you and I are on this agenda item, and I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add to about literature or about any of the items here, but...
Jim, sorry.
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
Sure, I'll go ahead. So a couple things. So I actually was accompanied Barbara Kidney at an event in Orange County last weekend where she was speaking. She's running for Assembly District 101, and it wasn't a huge turnout, but you know, they did have the three candidates, or her two opponents running. against her. And I was able to work, you know, sort of the crowd, that's a quotes around crowd, but folks, parents who were minding kids in the playground nearby. And again, just to sort of reiterate, I use that pitch line about, you know, I sort of approach people and ask them if they had already made up their mind who they were voting for, or just, I varied it. In some cases, I might have just said to people, you know, are you voting in the upcoming election? And, you know, I said, well, I'm with the Green Party. We're running, you know, Howie Hawkins and Angela Walker. They're to the left of Biden and Harris, who are up over Trump by 30 points, and followed that immediately by, and, you know, in order for the Green Party to maintain its ballot line in New York and be able to run candidates down ticket, we need about 200,000. That might have been the number that I was using, whatever it is. I've heard anywhere from 150 up to 200,000 votes. And I got several people who were nice enough, and they took the brochure and saw some of them actually reading it later on. So I do think there is, you know, that is an approach. I plan to go to the Hudson Farmers Market on Saturday, and I'm sure I'm going to, you know, meet some resistance, as you know, will happen. But, you know, it's also like, I mean, I believe this. I think, as Chris said at the outset, there is a 30-point lead with something, whatever, we have 6 million Democrats registered in New York State and 28,000 Greens, and we need some of those independent and non-Green progressive Democratic voters and independents. So I think that is something that should be persuasive to a lot of people. The other thing, I guess I'll say two other things. One is Tim Dimmick, who was on one of these calls not that long ago. I mean, he sent me earlier today, he took some of those talking points that I guess Mark Dunley had put together, and he sort of put it on a flyer. Now, it looks like it's just one page, and it's pretty text-heavy. You know, so I don't know whether or not people are interested in that. I mean, I can forward it if people might want to use it, you know, but be that as it may, that was another thing. And the last thing, I guess, Chris, that I had on this agenda item, and maybe this is, we should talk about this after, but there was a, I think Deborah Rosario and Tim Dimmick and Paul Gilman, and maybe Gil knows about this, there is a an event this coming Saturday, the 17th at 2 p.m., it says it's from 2 to 8 p.m., mass march to defund the NYPD, tax the rich and stop the layoffs. I guess meeting at Washington Square Park, West 4th and McNichols Street at 1:15. Paul says the Bronx Greens are not endorsing this event, but they're going to be there. It's a DSA event, and they want to reach anti-Biden DSAers. So I think Deborah Rosario and Paul Gilman seem to be spearheading like a Green Party coalition. I'm not sure if Danny Liebling is planning on going to that, but that might be something Greens who are in town, if you want to tag on to, over.
I was planning on going to that.
Okay. All right, thank you, Jim. Comments or questions directed at anything Jim mentioned?
Can I?
Yes.
So first of all, the literature that Deborah produced actually started with Tim Dimmick's thing, but we reduced it in size so it would look better. And it was reviewed by me and Deborah and Paul, and also by Gloria Matera. So it's basically the same concept as Tim's flyer, but more readable, you know, fewer things on the page. We reduced it to the core of the message. I think the literature, in terms of the timing, you know, the reason we rushed it to print was for this event on Saturday. Because it's specifically aimed at, like, DSA worker types, union types. You know, it stresses Howie's union and Angela's union background, et cetera.
Thank you, Gil. I just want to, just a brief Q&A. Is anyone having, for those of you who are doing phone banking, text banking, whatever, is anyone having problems with CallHub? I know a few weeks ago there were questions about CallHub and what was going on. For those of you who are making calls, are you running into any problems, any difficulties?
One problem I'm having is reception. I'm not hearing the people on the other end of the line that good. That might be my phone. I don't know. It might be my personal problem, but I reception's not that good. Also, I find it a little bizarre. There are so many calls with no answer. I mean, almost everybody nowadays has some kind of voicemail. So I find it very strange that I'm calling all these numbers that don't answer. And, you know, the only other problem I have is the one I've already mentioned, is that people getting paranoid about Trump. And, in all the calls I've made, I've only had one person who was willing to volunteer for Howie. So that's my experience has not been too good, frankly.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about the reception thing. But thank you for that, Jack. Phone calling has its thankless side sometimes. But if you're having reception problems, well, let me call on Warren first, and then I'll say something.
Okay. I tried using CallHub. I found it strange that I was getting a lot of out-of-state phone numbers. Which, you know, particularly now when we're trying to get so many votes for Howie in New York State, and when I actually called CallHub, you know, who I think is based in India, about whether or not they could sort their database, they said no, they could not sort their database. So I decided to do literature instead.
Okay. Okay, I'm looking. Sandy Prisbalak, who is doing the heading up the volunteer team in New York State, had mentioned some things about issues with CallHub. I haven't kept up with it. I haven't kept up with her emails, I have to admit. But is anyone else having issues, anyone who's been calling, issues similar to or the same as Warren's or Jack's? No? Okay.
Can I just respond, though, even though I haven't been involved with CallHub?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really unusual in my experience, phone banking in the last couple of years, that people don't pick up, because if they don't know the number, you know, people get so many spam calls these days, they generally don't. That's why we leave voicemails. And it's less and less relevant what the person's phone number is, because a lot of people don't have landlines anymore. They only have cell phones, and cell phones can be anywhere but still be New Yorkers.
All right, thank you, Gil. I had your New York volunteer team calls. Thank you, Jack, for the comment in chat that all the numbers you've been dialing are in New York State. I'm not sure why Warren was getting out-of-state numbers. That may have been just a glitch of some sort, perhaps, but I know Sandy Prisbalak has been doing every 2 weeks volunteer team calls. I have not been on the calls. I know some of you have. I'm not even sure when the next call is. Can anyone shed some light on that?
Jim Stack.
Yes.
The next call is Monday, the 19th.
Okay.
And while I got the floor, Chris, there, you know, I don't know what the problems were before, but again, I want to emphasize this is very easy. All you need to do is go up to the HowieHawkins.us website and go on to the wherever it is volunteer and phone bank, the link, the direct link has been circulated many times. It's really easy. It like couldn't be easier. And you know, it like anything else, the first time you do it, okay, you have to like get used to how it's done, but you get a call back when you first log on and join the campaign. There's a little introductory video on the website, so you should watch that. You get a call back and you'll hear, it's like just like your phone is then engaged and you'll hear like a click, click. But then you're just pressing buttons that say next call, and then it will ring. And to Jack's point, yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes what I've noticed is when there's no answer, it'll eventually disconnect. And so it's, you know, then you just put no answer. Seven or eight times, and then the person or the machine will pick up. And so I would really just encourage people to do it. There's not enough people doing it still. It's very easy to knock off, you know, 25 calls in a half hour, 45 minutes. And we need people to be doing it. They're also, I'm not entirely clear how the text banking is working. I had 100 numbers. I went through them. I guess I need to ask again for more text banking numbers, but I actually found the phone banking personally a little more satisfying, just because it seemed like with the text banking, the things were not necessarily resolved, because some people just don't respond at all. Whereas at least in the phone banking, you can either generally like, okay, there was no answer, or you left a message, or it was a bad number, or you had a meaningful interaction. So please try to sign up. Over.
Thank you, Jim. That was all I had to on item number two, campaigning for Hawkins Walker. Any other questions, comments? Pithy suggestions. All right. Whatever you're doing on behalf of our ballot line, keep doing it.
Does anyone have an idea whether we're going to be able to be successful? Because people have the idea in their heads that they have to overflow for Biden to avoid Trump, and the idea that there's no way in New York that that's relevant just doesn't get through. You think we'll be able to keep our ballot line?
First of all, hello, Eleanor. I didn't know you were on the call. That was my fault for not checking the participant list more regularly. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the meeting. We have had a fairly extended discussion already. I'm not sure how soon you joined us, but about the arguments either contained in phone scripts or just our own street campaigning about the whole argument about Biden or not Biden in New York State. And I believe that amongst the many comments made about it is Jack's comment in chat. Biden could win by the largest landslide and GOP would never... I'll come back to that. So we have talked already about the large margin that Biden has in New York State and why, as we talk to people in person or over the phone, why it makes sense to not vote for Biden and vote for the Green Party to help us keep our ballot lines.
Well, you don't have to convince me. I'm already convinced of that. I'm just wondering, do you think we really have a chance to save it?
Nobody knows. And you know what? let's get out there and do what we can. And I'm not trying to convince you. I know you're a Green. So thank you, Eleanor. Anyone else on campaigning for Hawkins Walker? Okay.
I just wanted to say thank you for Chris for being able to give us and distribute a lot of the literature.
Yes, thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
The literature that Deborah and me and Gloria made on Paul actually has a little slightly different tack. I mean, it does mention the Green ballot line, but it doesn't focus on Democrats versus Greens. It focuses on Biden and Cuomo not being progressives. And it makes the case that the attack is on all third parties, including the Working Families Party. That may or may not be more successful in making the pitch to people about why to vote for Hawkins Walker.
Okay. Thank you, Gil. We're coming up on 8 o'clock hour. If there's nothing else on item number two, we'll go to three, which is Green Party's fight to retain its ballot access in court. Jim, would you like to speak to that?
Well, I'll try and summarize what Candace Carpenter reported at the state committee meeting on September 26, and from my own knowledge. So sometime in September, there was a court that denied a request for injunctive relief by the Working Families Party and who are joined, I think, in a lawsuit with the SAM Party, the Serve America Movement Party. And basically, it was kind of a bad decision. I mean, the judge took the position like, you haven't been harmed yet, and so therefore, you haven't proved that you're going to be harmed. Interestingly, the SAM Party, which is a new party with ballot status, at least in terms of they gained it at the 2018 gubernatorial race, they did gotten just over 50,000 votes. They are not running a presidential candidate, and so there's some feeling that of anybody, they might have the most compelling argument because, it's like this is a sort of a states versus federal thing. Why should they have to run a federal candidate for president just to maintain ballot status and run candidates in New York? Candace had reported that it was unlikely that their appeal, I think the injunctive relief was just denied to Working Families Party, but the SAM Party has asked for expedited processing of its appeal, and that's supposed to happen, but it's not likely that there's going to be a decision before Election Day. The other thing that I saw today again was, we have the Green Party and the Libertarian Party have our own lawsuit. Unfortunately, it's in the same Southern District of New York where this bad ruling against the Working Families Party happened. I don't know that it's the same judge, but there was discussion of reaching out to Richard Winger of Ballot Access News, and if we lose our status, the other thing that's felt that is compelling is that, the restrictions that have been put in place, the tripling of the signatures required to put an independent candidate on the ballot for governor went from 15,000 to 45,000 signatures from 100 congressional districts, 100 people in 15 congressional districts to 500 people. And that's on the over a 6 week period where other states, have like 4 to 6 months to get petitions. In some cases, there's just a filing fee. So New York now with this new law has some of the most restrictive ballot access rules in the country. And as has been pointed out, you know, this affects not only the Green Party, but pretty much every other third party in New York. You know, we join with the Libertarians because, like us, they tend to run their own independent candidates. And I guess Sam does as well, whereas the others, conservative independents, working families, typically endorse whoever the major party candidate are of the Republicans or Democrats.
What was the other one you said had its own candidate?
The Libertarian Party, which gained ballot status in 2018.
The other one.
It's called Serve America Movement, or SAM for short. So basically everybody's got lawsuits against the Board of Elections, and we're just riding that out. You know, that's the other half of the ballot defense campaign, even as we're also trying to get out the vote. Over.
Questions or comments for Jim about this item?
Sue Stack.
Yes, Sue.
Jim, looking across the country, is New York State singled out with this?
Well, I'm not sure when you say singled out. I think it's probably unique the way these, in the case of New York, this all developed, you know, with Cuomo basically forming this commission last year because the legislature didn't want to tackle it. The chair of this commission was the chair of the Democratic Party in New York State and a Westchester County executive for the Green Party. You know, the commission was, it was whatever. There were however many appointments. You know, the minority party, the Republicans, got like two, and then like the leader of the assembly and the leader of the Senate got two, and Cuomo got like three. So it was like stacked with Democrats. There was no third party representation on this commission. They issued their report. It became law in January because they didn't, the legislature enjoyed their 6-month paid vacation and didn't come back to challenge it. A judge threw it out in March, saying it was an unconstitutional abrogation of the legislature's responsibility for lawmaking. And then under cover of, as the COVID-19 pandemic was getting underway in full throttle in March, Cuomo snuck it in as an 11th hour budget amendment. So there was no public debate. And of course, you know, legislatures, well, we have to approve an on-time budget. We have to approve the budget. So you've got all these Democrats, even the progressive ones, who will say like, well, I have problems with either A, the campaign finance plan, which by itself is lousy and doesn't allow for anybody pretty much, but wealthy incumbents and Republicans and Democrats to benefit from it. But this whole throwing these ballot access restrictions on top of a lousy public campaign finance plan under the argument that, oh, this is now going to, you know, it's going to cost the state too much money if too many candidates are getting state money, which is nonsense. That's the whole point of campaign finance reform, is to level the playing field. So all of that, Sue, in a long way of answering your question, is unique to New York. So I don't know that any other state has anything similar. Over.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Any other comments or questions to agenda item 3? All right, hearing none. Agenda item 4 is report back from September 26th state committee meeting. Some of you attended that meeting and some no. And would you like to speak to that for a couple of minutes?
Sure. So, I mean, major highlights of the meeting. So this was every 2 years we elect a new state committee, which, you know, was the folks, all of us who petitioned to get on the state committee at the June 23rd primary, you know, signatures gathered back in February. So new state committee members were seated. In the case of New York County, since Adrian had resigned, we currently have one vacancy, which this maybe is business for a future Green Party of New York County meeting. To fill that vacancy, I've reported at, I think, the meeting two meetings ago that I will be moving out of county the end of this month. And some point soon thereafter, we'll be changing my voter registration to Columbia County. So you'll have a male and a female seat to fill. But we elected co-chairs. Peter Lavinia and Gloria Matera were reelected as the co-chairs of the Green Party of New York State. I did not seek reelection as secretary, so Michael O'Neill was elected secretary. Adrian Craig Williams was reelected to continue as chair, treasurer rather. And then the five executive committee at large seats were filled by, with one exception, by the existing members. So Tatiana Moraney, Sandy Prisbalak, Mary House, now Mary Cregan, and Eric Jones were all reelected. They were returning executive committee members, and CJ Chapman of the Upper Hudson Green Party was elected. On the national committee, we had an election there. Again, there were more candidates than there were seats to be filled. There are nine seats to be filled, of which no more than half can be people who gender identify as male. We have nine people and then one alternate. So those elected were Craig Seaman, Barbara Kidney, CJ Chapman, Sandy Prisbalak, Gloria Matera, Danny Liebling, Joey Nahum, Michael O'Neill, and Adrian Craig Williams, and Gil Obler is the alternate. And then we also elected voting members for, I guess there are now seven standing committees for the Green Party in New York State, campaign committee, a new data management committee, fundraising, legislative issues, platform, rules and policies, and web. And we've got Greens from New York County sprinkled throughout that. Jack is on CampCom. Myself and Gil are on the Data Management Committee. Chris and I are on Rules and Policies. I think Gil and I are volunteers on the web committee. So that was the elections piece. There was also a long discussion similar to what we've been having earlier on tonight's call about, you know, with Howie Hawkins made opening remarks, and then we had a long sort of strategic discussion about the ballot line. The only thing I think that wasn't mentioned that was letters to the editor, and time is growing short for that. I submitted one to the Times Union up in Albany, I think on Monday. I have not heard anything. Kind of took the tack of the what Gil was saying about, you know, Cuomo and the Democrats are trying to kill all third parties in New York. And we had the ballot defense line update, and what else? There were, you know, some down ticket candidate speeches from some of those folks who are running. So I think that's pretty much kind of a quick summary, Chris, of what took place.
I'd say a thorough summary. Thank you, Jim. Any questions, comments to this agenda item or Jim's report back?
I just want to say I'm actually excited to be an alternate on the national because the our delegation has 6 women and 3 men, and that's unique in the country. So I think that that's marvelous.
All right, thank you, Gil. Anyone else? All right. My apologies for misnumbering the agenda items. The next one is building Green Party in New York County and engaging with state party. This was myself and Jim. I guess the only thing I'll say at this point is party building is a 24/7 thing. When dawn comes on Wednesday, November 4th, the Green Party in New York County will still be here. I would pretty much just reiterate, as far as my part on this agenda item, is that party work as opposed to work that's addressed to specific issues that we advocate on behalf of is always the thing that we need more hands on. You heard Jim remind people that Adrian has moved out of county. Jim's going to be officially out of county soon. So that means we need state committee reps to fill the vacancies that have been created. We're also going to eventually need a new treasurer because Jim will be gone. About a year from now, 2021, we're going to have to start thinking about county officers for the following year, meeting people who are willing to serve as chair, secretary, and treasurer. So I just want to put that out there because we need help. County officer positions do not indemnify you or make you liable to legal eagles in Albany or fiscal watchdogs. I once had someone ask me multiple times before that person decided to become a state committee member what their legal obligations were, and I calmly told them repeatedly that there was nothing obligating them. So these are party positions. It is true that if you're chair, you need to do a financial report every year to a state agency. It's an easy peasy kind of thing to do, but so I would just say, rather than going on further at length, think about serving in party positions in this county, either as an officer and or as a state committee rep. You will be helping the county work a lot by doing that. Over. Jim?
To say that I'm happy to, you know, one-on-one to help people, whether it's like treasurer or secretary, since I've done both. Treasurer is pretty simple. There's like 2 filings a year that you need to make with the campaign finance division of the New York State Board of Elections. There's software, you just download it onto your computer. And I usually just follow like the example of the one I did previously. But, you know, we don't have a lot of bank activity. I mean, there's, you know, the occasional expenditures, as you've seen from my treasurer's report. So that's pretty easy. But it's an important fiduciary responsibility. Secretary can be easy too. I mean, we haven't had that many things like, you know, in a couple years past where we had special elections and then you have to do some paperwork, for the special election. But even that, you know, there are templates and everything. So, you know, again, I just want to say I'm, you know, even after I'm no longer a resident of New York County, I want to just say that I'm happy and willing to help any of my comrades here who might be toying with the idea of stepping up for any of those roles over.
I did the bookkeeping for the Lawrence Township Tax Office for 2.5 years once, and I was treasurer for Princeton Fellowship for Peace for a year. And if I had your help, and if it's something I can do from home that just requires simple math, then I could consider doing this.
Direct response?
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
So the only thing, Eleanor, and I saw your chat, one of the things that's been great is that the Lower East Side People's Federal Credit Union, that is our bank, has online banking, but it requires a smartphone, which I gather you don't have.
Correct.
Now, I am not sure you may be able to do this if you have like a PC that has a camera capability, but what I wanted to say was I am able to make deposits of checks because part of the responsibility is basically quarterly or a couple times a year, the Green Party of New York County gets back half of the money that is paid in supporting member dues to the state. So those are checks that I need to deposit. And I'm able to do that remotely, which is great. I mean, because it's over on Avenue B and like 3rd Street, which I know is not close to where you are. So I just wanted to note that. I mean, that's one thing just to keep in mind in terms of one of the responsibilities of depositing checks or whatever, over.
Would I have a computer with a camera, but I also have a familial tremor, which might make it difficult to hold the checks up steadily.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll try and do is the next time I have a check to deposit, let me see if you can do it through the PC as opposed to doing it on the smartphone. I'm just not certain of that. I know there is an online banking part of the website, like if you're using a computer. I just haven't tried it myself. I've just used the phone, so I can try that and get back to you.
Okay.
Thank you, Eleanor. Thank you, Jim. Anything else to this item? Questions, comments?
I want to say I'm not reticent to take a position when it's needed, but right now I'm about to be in a fight to keep the apartment in New York County. I think it makes sense to figure out whether I'm going to be able to stay in Manhattan before, you know, I consider taking something on.
Thank you, Gil. Anyone else on this item? All right. The only thing we really had left was any announcements. I know Gil and maybe one other person made some announcements regarding the event this weekend. Any other announcements, any information sharing you would like to do in the waning moments of this meeting? We're going to 8:30 and we're at 8:16 right now.
I just wanted to double check with Ivana and make sure that I'm supposed to show up at her residence at 1:00 p.m. on Saturday to leaflet.
Yes, that's fine, Jim. That's fine. It's on my calendar. No problem.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? Open it.
I have a question.
Yes.
Who wrote the content of the handouts?
All right, so your audio is having problems,
Ivana. It is? Can you hear me now?
Yes, no,
why is that? Okay.
Ivana, do you mean the content of the palm cards?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Why are what you're...
Well, I'm happy to hand them out, but I have a problem with the overuse, as far as I'm concerned, of the word socialism. I think it turns people off, and I don't think it's necessary to use.
I think for young people it attracts them. Okay, young people are much more...
Maybe some young people, but too many Americans equate that word, and probably not young people, with communism. That's the problem.
I agree with you.
What?
I agree with you.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessary to use it.
All right, so just, Jim, yes.
So it's the campaign that provided the content for the flyer. Howie Hawkins and Angela Walker are both very publicly out there as socialists. So those are our candidates. And eco-socialism is, you know, part of the Green Party of New York State's platform as well. Over.
Well, it's a problem. I'm sorry. It really is a problem. It turns off a lot of people. And I don't think it's necessary.
All right, so point of order. And I'm not really enforcing point of order very well during this meeting, I have to say. So sorry about that, my bad. If you want to be on the stack, just say stack and your name, and I'll be happy to call on you. So,
Well, I think I've said my piece, you know. In Europe, they have social democracy.
All right, so Ivana, I'm gonna move on to the next person on stack because your audio is very poor. So,
I'm not used to using this system. I'll have to.
That's all right.
The audio part.
That's okay. It's not your fault that the tech is giving you problems. So, Jack, you wanted to be on stack.
Yeah, I just want to say to the people I've been giving out flyers, that's never been a problem that I can see. People look at the flyers. I haven't had too much engagement. The only engagement I've had is crank people who accuse the Greens of being spoilers and so on. And, you know, I just let them have their say and go away. I've never heard anybody that I've given a leaflet to, you know, complain about the socialism part or even mention it. It's just that I think with a lot of people of color, they respond to seeing Angela Walker there, and I think that's the most important thing. So I don't think it's disqualifying, but maybe Ivana has had a different experience than I have. Over.
Hold on a minute. You guys say Stack and then your name, please.
Stack Eleanor.
Yes. Thank you, Eleanor. Go ahead.
I got a friend of mine once to support the ballot challenge, the challenging after the 2016 election that Jill Stein was involved with. I got a friend to support that with a monetary contribution, an out-of-state person, an older person who equate socialism with communism and hates them both, but was willing in this one instance to give financial support. And I know if I'm trying to get my friend, who is distinctly to the right, to support the Greens for what he agrees with them on and third parties, because he's a libertarian, that keeping the word socialist out of the picture
would be definitely important in getting this cross-party support.
All right, thank you. Go ahead, Gil.
I'll be brief. You know, you could be for this or against this, but this was an issue that was debated and decided in the primary, the Green primaries. We chose our candidate and consequently chose our strategy this year. At this point, you know, if we want to protect our ballot line, we support the candidate. I don't think at this point it makes sense to second guess the strategy we decided on in the spring.
Thank you, Gil. Anyone else on this item, which was originally entitled Open Information Sharing Announcements? So I'm just going to insert myself on the stack, and then we're going to go on to selecting our next meeting date. I identify as a democratic socialist. I identify as an eco-socialist in the interest of full transparency. I'll just echo what Gil said. We're 2.5 weeks out from Election Day. And pretty much the past 10 or 11 years that I've been a member of the Green Party, it is a very common feature of discussions among Greens about whether a campaign is doing the right kind of campaign literature. It is also a feature of the Greens where Greens sometimes come up with their own campaign literature out of the blue that they don't want to collaborate with anyone on. It's ad infinitum. So usually if you have an argument with the campaign literature you're handing out, you have to address the campaign itself. It is late. It's the two-minute warning in football. It's the fourth quarter in basketball. Whatever analogy, sports or otherwise, we need to be out there. We need to hand out the literature. We need to make the phone calls. Yes, there are people who have problems with the word socialism. And it creates all kinds of associations. But we need what we need to keep our ballot line. So let's just go full speed ahead, in my opinion. Over. Item number seven, not six. Select next meeting date. At this point, everyone, I think the next meeting day will probably be after Election Day, it looks like. But I'll entertain suggestions for a next meeting date. It seems like Thursdays are good.
Usually Thursdays are not good for me. I usually have two meetings at 6:30 and 8 on Thursday. Thankfully, today both were canceled. But you know, if Thursday's better for everybody else, that's, you know, it, just be aware I may not be able to join for quorum in the future.
Anyone else have issues with Thursday 7:30?
I do.
You do. Okay. Anyone else? Thursday meeting times. Okay.
Stack.
Suggestions on, I'm sorry, Jim, were you saying stack? Someone said stack.
Yeah, I did, Chris. How about like maybe November 10th? That's 1 week after the election. I don't know if we'll know the results then. It's a Tuesday. The second Wednesday, the web committee meets, so it would be better for me if we could avoid the second Wednesday, but that's just one option.
It would make sense to just throw...
Thoughts about, and guys, if it's not your turn to speak, please mute your microphone. Thoughts about Tuesday, November 10th? Anyone?
I don't think like that Tuesday, November 17th, would be better.
Tuesdays in general are not good for me.
Okay.
Wednesday the 18th, does that work?
Wednesday, November 18th has been suggested. Comments to that?
That would work for me.
Jack?
That would work for me as well if we start at 7.
Gil, Warren, Ivana, Eleanor?
I might, right now, I'm not sure. I'll have to check
Sue?
My... That date might work for me at least from 8 o'clock on.
All right, so just a reminder, normally our meeting time is 7 to 8:30.
Well, 8 would be better for me than 7.
Yeah, same here, Ivana speaking.
I'm sorry, am I hearing from Ivana and Eleanor that an 8 o'clock meeting time is better than a 7 o'clock meeting time?
That's right.
I wouldn't mind an 8 o'clock meeting time, but I don't know about the others.
Yeah, I mean, it's been standard customary practice for years now to have a meeting start time at 7. We once did one, I can recall, going back a couple of years where we met at 8 just simply because we couldn't find a meeting space earlier than that. But 7 tends to generally be convenient for most people as a meeting time to start because it's kind of in between early and late. For many, not all. I mean,
if the 12th or the 19th works better for people, you know, I mean, I might be able to get out, you know, with enough advance notice, I might be able to get out, at least out of the 8, you know, I might be able to get out of both meetings again if I have to. So, I mean, if Thursday is better for people, I don't want to jimmy up the works here.
Wednesday is really better for me.
Wednesday's better for you, but not at 8, you're saying, or?
I could meet at 8, but I don't know if it's convenient for everybody else.
I would prefer 7, but I could do 8.
All right. How to sort through all this. I mean, I'll make a motion that the next meeting be Wednesday, November 18th at 7.
I second the motion.
Could we compromise at 7:30 and some people join at 8? I mean...
Well, that would be the easiest compromise. Could we amend the motion?
Any discussion on that? Probably violating 3 different parliamentary procedure laws. I'm not going to accept that friendly amendment. The amendment has been made and seconded. Any objections to the motion?
Sustak.
Go ahead, Sue.
This is not an objection. Can you just repeat the motion?
Yes, I move that our next meeting of Green Party New York County on a Zoom call is Wednesday, November 18th at 7.
Okay, thank you.
Eleanor Stack.
Go ahead, Eleanor.
I was stepped away from the computer a minute ago, but I would have supported the Wednesday 7:30 compromise.
Okay, so right now the motion on the floor is Wednesday, November 18th at 7.
So we have to vote that down in order to bring up the compromise again?
Yes.
That's pretty much, that's a yes.
Okay, I vote against it.
Well, we didn't ask for a vote yet. We're just asking for objections, of which you just made one. Are you willing to stand down from that objection at this point?
No, I
okay.
I'm saying that Wednesday at 7 is not good for me. 7:30 would be better. I'd be a half an hour late.
Okay. Other objections to the motion? Hearing none.
Yeah, Chris, I'll object. I mean, it seemed...
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, it seems like a number of people have said 8 is better. It's been suggested that 7:30 on that particular date as a compromise. So, I mean, why don't we just go with 7:30? Unless you have a, you haven't said, unless you have a particular reason why you need to do it at 7 that night. Over.
All right.
Well, I'll stick up for Chris. I mean, he's a school teacher, and the later it is, the harder it is on him.
I appreciate the props, but I just want to give credence to Jim's point. All right, so I'll withdraw my motion and submit a new motion to be seconded, which is Wednesday, November 18th at 7:30.
Seconded.
Objections. Going once, twice, three times. Motion passes. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
Well, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
All right, objections, no? Okay. Everyone, including the two that I summoned personally to the meeting, thank you for coming. Please get out there, whatever out there means, and help us maintain our ballot line. Thank you, everyone, and have a great night.
Thanks, Chris. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Chris.
Good night.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jim.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.